Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
Welcome to the SDF
Hello
conference
and
system.
Welcome.
You are
this
the only party in this conference.
This is SDF Open VoIP. To join the conversation, please dial 929-299-1269. That's 929-299-1269.
One other party is in this conference.
And this is your much obliging Publius, dialing in because I was reading this thing about the use of hot water pipes for heat distribution, specifically at Rutgers University in New York, and I thought that the further part of it might be of some interest. Now, where are we? Yes, here we are. So, after a description of various things, it says, the high-temperature water for our project is secured from specially designed forced circulation hot water boilers using orifices for control of circulation therein. Two forced circulation boilers with a maximum output of 750 boiler horsepower are being installed in this plant. They are primarily bundles of tubes tied to headers, which are connected to expansion tanks remote from these bundles. The tops of these expansion tanks are connected to a central drum above, in which steam is released from the water surface into a space above. The steam feature was added to permit the use of steam turbines for driving the circulating pumps for the boilers and the system, which will operate 24 hours every day of the year. The initial pressure on these turbines is the full system pressure to permit back pressure steam on the turbine exhaust. To permit back pressure steam on the turbine exhaust, having a temperature sufficiently high to permit preheating the return water from the system. Electric motor-driven units are provided for breakdown service for the turbines. This indicates also that power production is economically possible using this type of a system. Now, obviously, that's the reverse of my interest, which is to obtain the hot water from as a byproduct of power generation. But be that as it may. The idea of a leak in a high-temperature hot water system has caused some consternation among inquirers. However, accident records seem to indicate that such leaks are more harmless than a leak in a steam line of equal pressure. To flash 1 pound of steam at atmospheric pressure at a leak point requires roughly 1,000 British thermal units, which must be extracted from the adjoining hot water or the atmosphere, which then produces a cooling effect in the immediate vicinity of the break, rather than the terrific scalding effect, as it would seem without due consideration. Should a line break somewhere in the field for any reason, the operating engineer in the central plant will know almost immediately because the lines will begin to thump without any appreciable loss of water. As this article is written, a second major building, the Institute of Microbiology, is nearing completion. This building will be heated by forced low-temperature hot water with three heating zones off a converter for 220 Fahrenheit water. A converter is also provided for 40-pound gauge steam, and another for domestic hot water service.
Open VoIP 929.
Along with our outside distribution system is a conduit containing wires for an alarm system. Safety devices in each building have connections wired in parallel to one pair of lines from each building going back to the boiler house and connecting to an annunciator. Should any failure occur, the annunciator in the boiler house will indicate some sort of trouble exists in that building. By telephone, an employee can be dispatched to the building to ascertain the trouble. The mechanical engineering and chemical engineering buildings are already planned, awaiting funds to start construction. Each will contain several converters to handle a variety of services. Present plans indicate that our ultimate long circuit supplying the buildings located to the west of the boiler house will be approximately 5,600 feet, see sketch. The shorter branch circuit, which supplies buildings to the southeast of the boiler house, will be approximately 3,000 feet. Our underground system consists mainly of two 14-inch lines, while the original short section installed for the chemistry building service is only 12 inches. With a steam system, the corresponding line having the same heat capacity as our 14-inch water line would probably have been 24 or 30 inches because of length of run. These high-temperature water lines, along with a 3-inch compressed air line, are encased in a casting of insulated concrete on a poured concrete base. The insulated concrete casting is covered with a built-up felt waterproofing. There's also a footnote to the effect that design features proposed by the American Hydrotherm Corp. were incorporated in this distribution system, and the boilers were designed according to their specifications. But yes, there's a sort of a site plan, plot plan of the new University Heights campus of Rutgers University showing the high-temperature hot water piping. The solid line indicates that part of the system already designed, dotted line, proposed extension for future buildings. So, the Institute of Microbiology is about halfway to the end of the run in the sort of southwesterly direction. More due westerly direction than north arrow, given the way the north arrow points. So there's a couple of good illustrations. There's an illustration showing the difference between the steam and hot water systems, the steam system requiring periodic vaults where it takes a right angle, goes up, and then slopes down again to the next vault where it goes straight up and so on, and the pumps for extracting the condensate and pumping them back to the boiler house and all this other sort of thing, none of which is required by the pressurized water system. It says, hot water system piping can easily follow the contour of the land. The circulating pump takes care of any changes in elevation. With steam systems, pipelines must be pitched down in the direction of flow to drain properly and must be dripped at all low points. Red brass is usually used for drip mains to cut down on the amount of erosion. Red brass for the large steam main would be too expensive. Let's see. And there's a diagram of the boiler system, the two water tube boilers, feeding to the steam drum and water drums, high-pressure steam going to the turbine, which drives the pump, then returning to the economizer, and the return tank being pumped back into the steam drum by the feed pump. And then you have the hot water. So basically, only a very small amount of steam is produced in this system. It uses boilers, but only produces very little steam. The main thing of interest is the hot water itself, which is pumped by the pump driven by the turbine, and that goes to, as it shows, little converters in the microbiology building for 160-degree domestic hot water, 220-degree water for heating, and 40-pound steam. And then the water comes back and goes into the economizer and then into the boilers again. Anyway, and then there's a detailed illustration of the converter or steam generator. Steam or hot water of pressure or temperature as required, with its control valve, a thermal sensing element. And high-temperature water tube bundle takes place of usual fire under a boiler. Miscellaneous valves and fittings not shown. Anyway, and this situation, in fact, is exactly the same as that which is found in a pressurized water reactor type of nuclear power plant. anyway, but...
Open VoIP 929-299.
There are all sorts of alloys which are used to avoid corrosion by steam. Admiralty brass, red brass, depending on conditions, Inconel or Nymonic type alloys, which are nickel based and quite expensive, but they're good up to good high temperatures, 550 degrees C at least. And so my friend, who was heavily involved in the Raslafan project in Qatar, mentioned to me that they had in the So, in a natural gas liquefaction plant, you compress the gas to a very high pressure and then cool it, and that causes it to liquefy, essentially. That's how refrigeration of gaseous things often works. Anyway, but in the liquefaction plant, they were using seawater to cool the compressed gas, which, as you can imagine, does result in corrosion. Seawater is corrosive. Particularly seawater from the Red Sea, which is shallow and warm. And anyway, so he told me that they built, they bought two different condensers. They had two units running in parallel. They bought two different condensers to see which one would last longer. And one of them used Admiralty brass tubing, and the other used titanium tubing. I believe what he told me was that the brass was the more expensive, and that it did turn out in practice to have a somewhat longer life than the titanium, but not enough to write home about. In other words, it didn't balance economically. There was no benefit to using the Admiralty brass in place of the titanium. Anyway, I think that's about all that I have to say for this particular moment. And I will go back to working up the notes for blast number one. And again, if there's anything you want to see in those notes, let me know, and I may have something to say about it. Anyway, well, good day to all. In a non-radio land.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269. 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 Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
Thank you for listening to Open VoIP.